With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
All right, so today we are diving deep into Vice President Kamala Harris's recent media appearances.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like everywhere you turn, she's giving an interview.
Everywhere.
And we've got a lot of material to unpack here.
We do.
We've got transcripts from that really interesting Fox News interview that she did.
Yeah.
Articles from NPR, the Associated Press, and even Al Jazeera.
Oh, interesting.
On this. So yeah. A lot of different perspectives on this media blitz. Wait. Plus, we've even got some commentary from a Trump rally.
Oh, boy.
And Megyn Kelly's take on it all.
Okay.
So when you look at this stack of stuff, is there anything that, like, jumps out at you right away?
You know what's really interesting to me right off the bat is just her strategy.
Okay.
Like, appearing on Fox News.
Right.
Which, you know, I think we all know is not known for being particularly friendly to Democrats. So it seems like she's trying to, like, reach across the aisle and broaden her appeal. And I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, it is interesting. And you're right. I mean, Fox News is known for having a pretty conservative audience. So for her to go on there.
Right.
It's a bold move.
It is.
It really is. And speaking of bold, did you see that whole exchange she had with Bret Baier about immigration?
Yes.
I mean, things got a little heated.
Yeah, it got a little spicy in there.
Especially when he brought up Jocelyn Mungeray, Rachel Morin, Laken Riley, all those tragic deaths allegedly at the hands of undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, that was rough.
You could tell he was trying to put her on the defensive.
Absolutely. And I think that moment just perfectly illustrates, like, the fine line that she's walking when it comes to immigration.
Yeah.
On the one hand, she's trying to deflect the blame back to Trump, right?
Right, right.
Like, he's the one who blocked that bipartisan immigration reform bill.
Right.
But at the same time, Baier keeps bringing it back to, like, okay, but what about the increase in border crossings since Biden took office?
Mm-hmm.
And then he throws in those names, those victims' names.
Right.
And it's like, how do you counter that, you know? It's powerful stuff, right?
Yeah, you can't really...
You can't argue with that kind of emotion.
Right, and it's interesting how differently this whole thing is being framed. Like, NPR is calling it a do-over tour.
That's funny.
But Fox News is painting it as Harris trying to, like, rewrite history.
Right, well, I mean, that's the thing about media these days, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got an angle, and so you have to kind of understand, like, where each outlet is coming from.
Right.
Like, Fox News is going to cater to a more conservative audience.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they're going to highlight any perceived inconsistencies in her record.
Right.
Or any attempts to distance herself from Biden.
Yeah.
Whereas NPR, with their more liberal audience, mm-hmm. they're probably going to focus more on, like, the strategic rationale.
Yeah.
Behind her new messaging and, like, her efforts to connect with a broader range of voters.
Yeah, it's like we're watching two different movies playing out on the same screen.
Exactly.
And then you've got Al Jazeera bringing in this whole other dimension. Like, they're really focused on her trying to reach out to moderate Republicans.
Interesting.
Remember that big meeting she had with over 100 Republican leaders?
Oh, right. Yeah.
They really highlighted that, emphasizing this supposed bipartisan support that she's building.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
If she can get some big-name Republicans to endorse her,
right,
it kind of helps counter that radical leftist label that gets thrown around so much.
Yeah.
Like, it makes her seem more reasonable, you know?
Yeah. Right, more electable.
Exactly.
And it all plays into that really interesting statement she made.
Which one?
The, my presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency line.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, considering that just last week she couldn't name a single thing she would do differently.
Yeah, how about that?
It feels very calculated.
Oh, sure.
Like a direct appeal to those voters who might like some of what Biden's done.
Right.
But aren't thrilled about another 4 years.
Yeah, maybe they're a little worried about his age, you know,
Yeah.
or just think it's time for like a fresh perspective.
Yeah.
And so she's trying to say like, "Hey, I'm my own person.
Yeah.
I'm the future."
Yeah. It's a tough line to walk, though.
It is.
Speaking of tough,
Uh-oh.
let's talk about those allegations that Megyn Kelly brought up
Oh boy, here we go.
about Doug Emhoff,
Yeah.
Harris's husband.
I saw that.
I mean, she claims there are multiple witnesses, even receipts and airline tickets to back up this woman's story. That seems like a pretty big deal to just ignore.
Right. And that's exactly what Kelly's trying to point out.
Right.
She's basically saying that this is a clear example of media bias.
Okay.
Like, if this were a Republican candidate's spouse,
Okay.
you know, this would be front page news everywhere.
Right.
But because it's Emhoff,
Yeah.
the media is just conveniently looking the other way.
Like sweeping it under the rug.
Exactly. And it plays into this whole idea
Right.
that you can't trust the mainstream media,
Right.
that they have an agenda. They're protecting their own.
Which a lot of people believe these days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Kelly doesn't hold back.
She does not.
She straight up calls it a classic case of hypocrisy.
Wow.
But of course, the Harris campaign is denying everything,
Of course they are.
calling it a desperate attempt to smear her right before the election.
Right. Well, that's the standard playbook, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Deny, deny, deny.
It's going to be interesting to see if anything actually comes of it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Will there be any actual evidence, or is it just going to fizzle out?
Who knows?
Yes.
So we've got all this strategic maneuvering from the Harris campaign, conflicting narratives, allegations of media bias.
It's a lot.
It really is. What do you think all of this has actually accomplished so far?
What, it's still early.
True.
I mean, it's way too early to say if any of this is going to move the needle with voters.
Okay.
But one thing's for sure, she's definitely injected herself back into the conversation.
That's true.
Whether or not it's on her own terms, I guess, remains to be seen. And then there's that whole other layer with the allegations against Emhoff.
Right.
I mean, that could really throw a wrench in things.
Yeah. You never know what's going to stick in an election year.
It's true.
And Al Jazeera made a really interesting point about her relationship with black voters.
Oh, yeah.
They said that demographic is absolutely crucial for her,
Right.
but she also needs to appeal to a much broader audience at the same time.
Yeah. It's a tough balance for any Democrat, really,
Right.
but especially for her,
Yeah.
because, you know, she needs to energize those black voters who were so instrumental in getting Biden elected.
Right.
But she also can't alienate those moderate and independent voters
Yeah.
who might be leaning her way, but also might be a little bit wary.
Yeah, it's like she's trying to speak to multiple audiences at the same time.
Exactly. And that's never easy.
No, it's not, especially in this political climate where it feels like everybody's already chosen a side. Makes you wonder how much any of this really matters.
I know it's true, you know, with social media and everything.
Yeah.
It's like people are just retreating further and further into their own little echo chambers,
It is.
you know, where everyone just agrees with you all the time and
Right.
you never have to hear any dissenting opinions. So
Exactly.
it's like, are these media appearances even reaching those undecided voters anymore?
Right, because those are the ones who are actually going to decide the election, the
Exactly.
ones who are still persuadable.
Exactly.
But then you have those diehard Trump
Oh,
supporters,
yeah.
and we have a clip here from one of his recent rallies where he basically calls her border czar
Oh, no.
and claims that they had to clean up her 60 Minutes interview.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he went there,
Wow.
and the crowd was loving it.
I can imagine.
But it shows you how he operates. Like,
Yeah.
he completely bypasses traditional media and just talks directly to his base.
Yeah, and it's all about undermining trust
Right.
in institutions in the media.
Right.
Like, he wants people to believe that everything is rigged,
Right.
that any criticism of him is just a big conspiracy.
Right. And it's working.
It is.
Yeah, it's really effective.
And you know who else was pretty critical of that 60 Minutes interview?
Who?
Megyn Kelly.
Oh, what did she have to say?
Well, she did not hold back.
I bet you didn't.
She basically called Bill Whitaker the thinnest kid at fat camp for
No.
not pushing Harris harder on her record.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she thought he went way too easy on her.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he was more focused on trying to humanize her
Okay.
than actually grilling her on her policies.
Interesting.
Yeah, she specifically mentioned that he missed opportunities to ask about Biden's mental fitness.
Which has become a big talking point on the right.
Huge.
Yeah.
And of course, her own relatively thin resume when it comes to foreign policy.
Right. I mean, she hasn't exactly been a foreign policy heavyweight.
Not really, no.
So Kelly's basically saying that the whole thing was just for show.
Yeah, like they weren't really trying to get to the bottom of anything. Yeah.
Right. And there were a few moments where she did seem to dodge some questions.
Yeah, like that whole thing with the hypotheticals.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
So basically, she kept refusing to answer any questions that were framed as, like, what if scenarios.
Okay.
Especially when it came to foreign policy.
Interesting.
And Kelly's argument is that this shows a lack of preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's either not ready to be president.
Right.
Or she's just really, really good at avoiding tough questions.
Which some might say is a necessary skill in politics.
True couple.
But it makes you wonder what she would actually do if she were in the Oval Office.
Right. Like, does she even know?
Exactly.
And it's a stark contrast to her appearance on The View.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Kelly basically called it a tea party.
I mean, they were practically tossing her softballs.
I know, right.
And remember when they asked her if there was anything she'd do differently than Biden?
Oh, yeah.
And she said, there is not a thing that comes to mind.
I know. And everyone was like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Not a single thing.
Especially in this day and age.
I know, right?
Where it feels like every day there's a new crisis.
Right. And people are really feeling it.
Yeah.
Like, to say there's not a single thing you would do differently.
Right.
It just comes across as
tone deaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're not paying attention.
Exactly.
To what's actually going on.
It's like she's trapped, you know, in a way she is.
If she criticizes Biden too much, she alienates his supporters.
Right.
But if she just parrots everything he says,
then she's not her own person.
Exactly. And she blends in.
Right.
Which is not what you want in an election.
No, you need to stand out.
Exactly.
Especially if you're trying to win over those undecided voters.
So what do we make of all of this?
It's complicated, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got these conflicting narratives about her interview blitz.
Mm.
You've got allegations of media bias.
Yeah.
And she's stuck trying to carve out her own identity
mm-hmm.
while also standing next to the current president.
Right.
It's a lot. It really is. I mean, do you think the average voter is paying attention to all of this?
That's a good question.
Or are we just getting lost in the weeds here?
I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day drama of it all, right?
It really is.
But I think it's important to remember that every interview, every soundbite,
yeah.
every single public appearance,
yeah.
it all contributes to how the public perceives a candidate.
So even those little moments,
oh, yeah.
like Harris dodging a question or Trump riling up his base at a rally.
Exactly. Oh, those things matter.
They do because they shape the narrative, right?
Right.
They shape public opinion, and ultimately they influence how people vote.
And then social media comes in and amplifies everything.
Oh, yeah.
And takes things out of context.
That's a whole other beast.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It really is.
It really is. And speaking of messes, this whole situation with Emhoff and those allegations.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like a sideshow.
Right.
But it also shows you how quickly a campaign can be derailed by scandal.
Absolutely.
Whether it's true or not. That doesn't even matter anymore.
It's true.
It's all about perception.
Yeah. Which makes you think, like, how should we be evaluating candidates?
It's a good question.
Should we focus on their policies, their experience?
Yeah. Their vision for the country.
Does any of that even matter anymore
right.
compared to, like, personal scandals and social media controversies?
It's tough because it feels like that's all anybody cares about anymore.
Yeah.
All about the drama.
The drama.
The gossip.
It's almost like we need a guidebook just to navigate the news these days.
I know, right?
Speaking of navigating,
yeah.
did you catch that little observation from Kelly?
What was that?
About Joe Biden popping up right after one of Harris's big media appearances.
Oh, yeah, like he was trying to steal her thunder?
Exactly.
That is interesting.
It's almost comical.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want her to have the spotlight.
Well, and you know, he is getting up there in age.
Right.
Maybe he's a little jealous of her youth and energy.
It's possible.
Or maybe he just really likes the attention. Who knows?
That makes you wonder about their relationship.
For sure.
Like, how much agency does she really have?
Right. Like, is she her own person or is she just playing a role?
Exactly.
And do voters see her as a leader in her own right?
Right.
Or is she always going to be in Biden's shadow?
Especially given that Kelly claims he plucked her out of obscurity and failure.
Oof. Yeah, that's harsh.
It is, but it does make you think
it does.
About the challenges she faces.
For sure.
Like, fair or not, that perception is out there.
It is.
And it's something she has to overcome.
Absolutely.
If she wants to convince voters that she's ready to lead.
Yep. That's the name of the game.
So much of this comes back to perception versus reality.
Doesn't it always?
I guess so.
I mean, in politics especially.
We've got Harris trying to distance herself from Biden while also embracing his legacy.
Right.
We've got allegations of media bias.
Of course.
Conflicting narratives about everything she does.
Naturally.
And the constant pressure of a tight election. How do we even make sense of all of this?
Well, I think it boils down to this. We're watching a candidate in the middle of a really crucial moment.
Okay.
She's trying to redefine herself.
Right.
And it's not easy.
No, it's not.
Especially with all the noise and distractions.
Yeah.
So whether she succeeds or not really depends on her ability to take control of the narrative.
Okay.
Connect with voters on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And articulate a clear vision for the future.
It's a tall order.
It is.
But hey, that's politics.
That's the game.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to take a quick break.
Sounds good.
And then we'll come back and unpack all of this a little bit more.
Can't wait.
It's like she's trying to speak to multiple audiences at once, each with their own set of expectations and priorities. And let's not forget the backdrop of all this, an incredibly polarized political landscape where people seem to have already chosen their sides. It makes you wonder how much these media appearances can actually influence anyone's opinion.
It's a valid point. With social media echo chambers and hyper-partisan news outlets, it's easy to feel like everyone is entrenched in their positions. But it's precisely these undecided voters, the ones who haven't completely made up their minds, that these strategic media blitzes are designed to sway.
Which brings us to that clip from the Trump rally. Even with everything else going on, he couldn't resist taking some jabs at Harris, calling her border czar and claiming they had to clean up her 60 Minutes interview transcript. The crowd was eating it up.
That clip highlights Trump's ongoing strategy, which is to bypass traditional media and speak directly to his base, often by fueling distrust in institutions and portraying any criticism as a conspiracy. By dismissing the 60 Minutes interview as staged or manipulated, he undermines any attempt by Harris to connect with his supporters.
And Megyn Kelly was pretty critical of that 60 Minutes interview too, wasn't she? She didn't hold back calling Bill Whitaker the thinnest kid at fat camp for not pushing Harris harder on her record.
Kelly argues that the interview was too focused on humanizing Harris and not enough on scrutinizing her policy positions or experience. She specifically points to missed opportunities to question Harris about Biden's mental acuity, which has become a talking point among conservatives and her own relatively limited foreign policy experience.
It's like Kelly saying they were going through the motions of an interview without actually getting into the meat of things. She claims Harris dodged questions with lawyerly non-answers, which, to be fair, she kind of did with that whole hypothetical thing.
That's a great example of how a seemingly small detail can reveal a larger pattern. Kelly argues that Harris's repeated refusal to engage with hypothetical questions, particularly on foreign policy, suggests a lack of preparedness or a reluctance to articulate a clear vision for her potential presidency. It feeds into that narrative of her being overly cautious or lacking the decisiveness needed in a leader.
It's a stark contrast to her appearance on The View, which Kelly basically called a tea party. Remember that moment when they asked if she'd do anything differently than Biden, and she said, "There's not a thing that comes to mind. I almost choked on my coffee."
That response surprised a lot of people. In today's political climate, where voters are anxious about the economy, foreign policy, and a host of other issues, to say there's not a thing you do differently than your predecessor seems tone deaf at best.
It's almost like she's caught in a bind. If she distances herself too much from Biden, she risks alienating his base. But if she completely embraces his record, she loses that image of being a fresh start, a new generation of leadership. What a dilemma.
It's a delicate balancing act, and it highlights the challenges of running on a joint ticket, especially when there's such a significant age and experience gap.
So we've got conflicting narratives about the interview blitz allegations of media bias and a candidate trying to carve out her own identity while standing alongside her predecessor. It's a lot to process. Do you think any of this will actually matter to the average voter, or are we just getting lost in the weeds here?
It's a fair question. It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day drama of the campaign and lose sight of the bigger picture. But I think it's important to remember that every interview, every soundbite, every public appearance contributes to the overall perception of a candidate.
So even those seemingly small moments like Harris dodging a question or Trump riling up his base at a rally can have a ripple effect.
Exactly. It all feeds into the narrative, shapes public opinion, and ultimately influences how people vote. And let's not forget the power of social media to amplify these moments, taking them out of context and turning them into viral sensations that further solidify existing biases. It's a constant information battleground.
And speaking of battles, this whole thing with Emhoff and those allegations Kelly keeps bringing up, it feels like a sideshow, but it's also a stark reminder of how quickly a campaign can be derailed by scandal, real or perceived.
It speaks to the larger issue of how we evaluate candidates in today's media landscape. Do we focus on their policies, their experience, their vision for the future? Or are we more influenced by personal scandals, social media controversies, and the constant churn of the 24-hour news cycle?
It's a tough question, and I don't think there's an easy answer. But it's something we all have to grapple with as we try to make sense of this election and the information overload that comes with it.
Absolutely. It's about being discerning consumers of information, questioning what we read and hear, and recognizing that there's always more to the story than what meets the eye.
It's like we need a guidebook just to navigate the news cycle these days. And speaking of navigating, did you catch that observation from Kelly about Joe Biden conveniently popping up right after one of Harris's big media moments?
Oh, yeah. Like he was trying to insert himself back into the spotlight.
Yeah. It's almost comical, like he's threatened by her youth and energy.
Right. Like maybe he's realizing he made a mistake tapping her as his VP.
It's like he picked her for optics more than anything else.
It makes you wonder if he had any doubts about her qualifications.
Especially when it comes to foreign policy.
Right. Like, she doesn't exactly have a ton of experience on the world stage.
Which Kelly was quick to point out.
And she didn't mince words either.
What did she say again?
She basically said that Biden plucked her out of obscurity and failure.
Ouch. That's got a sting.
It does make you wonder how much of an uphill battle Harris is facing.
Yeah, like no matter what she does, she's always going to be tied to Biden.
And his record.
Exactly. So we've got all of these competing narratives and allegations and scandals swirling around.
It's a lot to digest.
It really is. So how do we as voters make sense of it all?
Well, I think it comes down to this. We have to be really discerning consumers of information.
Okay, what does that look like practically?
It means questioning everything we read and hear.
So don't just take things at face value.
Exactly. Dig a little deeper look for context.
And try to figure out the motivations behind the information.
Exactly, because everybody has an agenda.
That's true. Well, this has been quite the deep dive.
It has been fascinating.
It really has. Thank you so much for joining us today and helping us unpack all of this.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay curious.